Grace and peace. God bless you. Welcome back to Soteria Prophetic Ministries. Today I'm going to talk about, just kind of fudging around with this topic a little bit, but I think I want to title this talk, When the Grace for a Relationship Expires, okay, or the expiration date of a relationship. And it is based out of two very close relationships that Jesus had. And I endeavor throughout next couple of minutes to share some personal experiences that Jesus had in some very close relationships. Perhaps you can mirror that to some of your relationships so that you can kind of see the difference between which relationship has a grace to be restored and which relationship doesn't. I think that some of the, you know, a lot of times when people's social media status, they'll have relationship status complicated. And I get it. You know, sometimes you just don't know. But relationships are complicated because you're combining two or more different lives with different ideologies and convictions and mannerisms and personalities. And you're sort of fusing that or merging it into one. And that can be a challenge. I'm on my porch again. That can be a challenge because not everyone is going to hold to the same things that you hold to, right? Not everyone is going to see and have a passion for what you have a passion for. So, and then not everyone is going to remain true to the fidelity of a relationship. Unfortunately, you have people who are out to, you know, take what they can get, out to take advantage of you, out to use you for what you have. And those types of relationships, when you end up losing something or end up going through something, you won't need all the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit to tell you how true that friendship is. You will know. Circumstances will undoubtedly reveal to you that that person was only in your life for the fishes and loaves. So just taking a look at Jesus's life, and I wanted to just highlight two of his companions that I think clearly shows us the difference in terms of when a grace on a relationship has expired as opposed to when that relationship has extended grace. Okay, and let me just point this out too. God, the Bible says, for God has dealt to every man a measure of faith, and I believe that. I also believe that God has given every man a measure of grace. And grace appeals to permissions, accesses, favors, you know, things of that nature. So I believe that every relationship has a measure of grace. I believe that a parent to child relationship should be graced for, you know, till death do you part. I believe a marriage relationship should be graced till death do you part. I mean, that's just, you know, what the Bible says. Of course, you know, we don't live in a perfect society. Things happen. But the original and the original plan of God was for these relationships to walk us to our graves, right? To fulfill, help us fulfill our earthly journey. And then you have work relationships that may last 20 years, may last a year. You have church relationships, may last a few weeks, months, a few years, decades. Neighbors, you're related to, you know, depending on the neighborhood you live in, it may be a 10-year relationship, maybe a 30-year relationship. It just depends. So I think it's wise to measure, what each relationship grace looks like so that when that relationship expires or when it comes time to an end, that we're able to safely and smoothly transition to what's next. I think the problem for many of us is when a relationship expires and we did not see the signs, we just didn't see it. And, you know, we're heartbroken, we're emotionally damaged, we're wounded, and it just can be a real messy thing when a relationship expires and you didn't see it coming, as opposed to you see the signs. I'm leading up to where I'm going with Jesus. You see the signs, you've got some foreknowledge, you've got some insight that, hey, something is happening in this friendship, in this relationship. I've never seen anything like this before. And then, you know, it behooves you to sort of examine what the duration of that relationship looks like. Are you able to continue in that relationship despite what you're seeing, despite what you're hearing? Or do you don't have the stamina, don't have the endurance for it and say, you know what, I can't, you know. So it just depends, right? It depends on you. Depends on the other individual. So let's give you some word. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 5, and I'm just going to pull one verse completely out of context. The Bible says, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Now we're talking about Judas here, because the two relationships that I want to examine, two personal relationships that Jesus had, that I'm looking at in terms of this message, is between Judas and Peter. Jesus's relationship with Judas and Jesus's relationship with Peter. Now they were all close companions. We cannot deny. Very close circle, very close knitted, the inner circle. But there were some interesting dynamics happening within the confines of that. So Jesus's relationship with Judas is what I want to talk about first. And then I'm going to look at Jesus' relationship, his relationship with Peter. Jesus knew from the beginning that Judas was a devil. And sometimes you have this. Sometimes you connect with people and you know in your knower, right, that this is not going to be a long-term thing. It's not going to be, it's going to be a very short, graced relationship. And so you've got to, you know, move in with precision and with skill in the confines within that relationship, because you know it's not going to last. It may be, you know, a coach or so, you know, just somebody that you've connected for a particular year you're in school. I'll give an example. Maybe my choir director back in high school, very short relationship, just a 2-year relationship. But she impacted me tremendously. And so it was incumbent upon me to sit and learn. I mean, she was hard. But to this day, and I'm of age, and to this day, when I sing, I still, operate in some of the skill sets, some of the technologies that she taught me, in terms of, you know, how to sing, how to posture yourself with when you sing. And I have even passed it down to some of my children. So, but that was a short-termed relationship, as opposed to a relationship with my parents. You know, for the rest of their life, for the rest of my life. So again, it's just wisdom in knowing that when you have these short-term relationships, get out of it what God intended you to have. Because if you try to, connect longer than that season allows, it's not going to be good for you or them. You can get your feelings hurt. You can probably face some jail time. You know what I'm saying? Because the person feels like, okay, you're stalking me, right? What we had was good. It was for that prescribed amount of time, but it's over. So just quit calling me, quit stalking me. Don't come by my house. Leave me alone. You know, so you will notice that when a relationship, even a good relationship, when it comes to an end, you have to respect the period. You've got to respect the benediction to that thing. You got to respect the ending of it. regardless of how good it was. And you hear a lot of people say, oh, I remember the good old days and we did this and we did that. And if you try to go back and reinvent that, it's not going to yield the same results. It's just not, because it was for that time. It was for that season, but you're no longer there. Neither is that person. We've all grown. And so if you're trying to go back to your high school reunion and act like you were when you were 17, 18 years old, you know, what you did then was fine for that point of your life, but you're not 17, 18 years old anymore, right? You're not. So in this relationship, the Bible says, and he cast down, and this was the ending of Jesus's relationship with Judas. And he said, the Bible says, Matthew 27:5, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. So that was the end of that. You don't come back from suicide. You know, you don't come back from that. But of course there were circumstances that led up to that. Judas kept betraying Jesus. He didn't listen. Matthew 27:5 was not the final act of betrayal. It was the conclusion. Let me rephrase that. Yes, it was the final act of betrayal, but it wasn't the initial. It wasn't the only act of betrayal. There were many acts of betrayal and treason and infidelity that occurred throughout that relationship that led him to that conclusion. And so sometimes even in relationships, you find when someone keeps betraying you, they keep, mishandling you, they keep disrespecting you, then that person is wearing the bridge of that relationship worn thin, to the point that there is no return, because a person just won't embrace who you are. They won't support who you are. They won't, you know what I'm saying, won't protect you or whatever that relationship called for. They're unwilling to do that. So before we find Judas in Matthew 27:5, he had several instances of betraying Jesus, from the time when he argued about where the money was being spent. This woman could have sold the box and bought her some money, but his heart wasn't right. He didn't care anything about her alabaster box. He wanted, he had a greed for money. And that greed for money, of course, set him up to betraying Jesus. And, you know, and even in the very end, he couldn't even use it. He couldn't even use the tokens of his disobedience. That's a whole message right there. He couldn't even use it. Many people have betrayed you to get something, and by the time it was all done, it's over with, they couldn't even use the tool, you know, that they gained from betraying you. It wasn't even, basically, it wasn't even worth it. You know, it wasn't even worth it, to lose a good friend, to lose a good relationship, you know, for the sake of a position or a material thing. There's no comparison. You can replace things all day long. You can't replace people. This is why Saul, even when Samuel died, Saul went and consulted the witch of Endor to bring Samuel back up. There was nobody else on the earth that could soothe Saul's spirit, that could provide him with the answers, with the solution, with the counsel, wisdom, and insight that he needed, but Samuel. And Samuel was dead. So again, that grace for that relationship ended. And when Saul went back to try to, you know, rekindle that flame, Samuel came back from the grave. God permitted it. It's a mystery to me, to be honest with you, but God permitted it. And Samuel came back and rebuked him and then pronounced death over him, went right back to his rest. So you see what I'm saying? When you try to go back to things that God has delivered you from, or things that you have matured from, or things that, you know, the relationship has expired and you're still trying to connect the dots, you're still trying to plug, you know, into a source that has no power, it's not going to be beneficial for you or that individual. So Judas had a trail of acts of treason against his relationship with Jesus. And so here we find Matthew 27:5. This was just the conclusion of it, but it was inevitable. So in this regard, the grace for the relationship between Jesus and Judas expired. Jesus, being Lord of all glory, could have changed Judas's mind, could have frustrated his suicidal attempt, could have intervened between Judas and the meetings with the high priests. Jesus could have done that. And there are certain relationships that you could have gone above and beyond and out of your way to make it work. And God said, no, it's not worth it. I'm not saying the person is not worth it. I'm saying the relationship wasn't worth it. And then there'll be some people who will continue to try to beat a dead horse, try to make a dollar out of 15 cents, try to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, trying to fix something that is just has lost its elasticity. You know, there's no more stretch in it. There's no more grace. There's nothing left but just that person being there. And they no longer serve the same purpose that they did. So even if you try to keep, now this, trust me, when I tell you this, it's coming from a personal place. Even when you try to keep certain people in your life, just for the sake of having them in your life, they don't even serve the same purpose no more. They no longer have that. And guess what? I can put this on me and put this on you. Even if someone tries to keep you in their life, and God has severed many relationships, right? And I have severed many relationships because I realize there's nothing left. There's nothing left. One thing, my grandmother, bless her heart, she used to always hold on. I believe my grandmother was a low-key hoarder, y'all. But she would hold on to containers. Like, if she would get Jell-O from the grocery store, she would wash it out and keep it. If she would get a cup of tea from, you know, some chicken joint or what have you, she would hold on to it. So she held on to things, even though the purpose that it was intended for had long gone. The Jell-O is gone. The mashed potatoes and gravy is gone. The iced tea is gone. It's all gone. But she's holding on to that container. And I think that's the way some of us are. We hold on to containers because we can't get past what it used to be like. And so even for me, there have been people that would try to hold me in certain circles or in certain relationships. And I know in my knower that I have nothing left for you, you know, for whatever reason, but I have nothing left to give. God hadn't even given me the same heart. So, you know, when you have an understanding of the grace on relationships, it will really help you. It will really give you wisdom. One thing about knowledge can be learned. Knowledge, you know, the beginning, the fear of the Lord, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord, right? So you can learn, you can have book smarts, and you can study, and you can get up multiple degrees, and there's nothing wrong with that. But wisdom comes from God, you know? And so learning wisdom in relationships, wisdom will save your life. Wisdom will save, I tell people, my church members, wisdom will save money. Wisdom will save. Wisdom is salvation. Wisdom is life salvation, not your soul salvation. Jesus is that. But wisdom, I'm telling you, it's a preserver. You know, the I think the Greek name for wisdom is Sophia. You know, the Bible said, wear it like a necklace around your neck. Wisdom crying out in the street. So for me, when I feel like, oh, God is revealing to me that someone's trying to hold me hostage to a season of relationship that has expired, you know, I will walk away. And it's not to be mean, or it's not to be whatever it's, you know, is perceived as. It's a wisdom in knowing that I'm no longer good for you. And that's what Samuel had to tell Saul. I'm no longer good for you. That doesn't mean I'm no longer good, right? I'm no longer good for you. What this relationship could have been, what this relationship could have produced, it can no longer meet that. The requirements, the quota, you know, it's no longer there. For whatever reason, okay? And so when you find people trying to hold you hostage, it's because they haven't learned the art of letting go. You know, Bishop Jakes preached a message a while ago, and it was entitled, Let's Just Kiss and Say Goodbye. It doesn't mean that we have to leave on unfriendly terms, but respect me and I'll respect you, and let's just come to a conclusion and acknowledge what's happening. That's the mature thing. We don't have to, you know, like the covenant of Mizpah, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent from one another. I think it was written in the book of Judges, and a lot of churches use that as a benediction, and I don't know if we fully understand what that means. It means that, you know, we're agreeing to disagree. And so when we walk away from one another, I'm trusting God to hold you to your promise that you won't do me harm. And maybe one day I'll bring that and we'll talk about that. But that's what the Mizpah covenant was all about. It was the Mizpah was a watchtower. In other words, when they said that covenant one to another, may the Lord watch. It placed God to govern over our conduct, govern over our speech, govern over our behavior between one another, even though we've gone separate ways. So that's what the Mizpah covenant, M-I-Z-P-E-H, means. And yeah, nothing wrong with using it for benediction, but I'm just saying, you know, there's a deeper meaning to that than what some of us may have realized. So, you know, even though the relationship comes to an end, you still have to respect what the relationship was when it was active. You know what I'm saying? When it was, what's the word I want to use? When it was active, for the lack of a better word. You still respect secrets and things that they revealed to you, you know, personal things. You still respect that, even though your season has ended, even though it was time for you to walk away. You still respect it. That's just your integrity as a person. But you find some people, especially when they're wounded or they're dealing with abandonment issues or, you know, rejection, you know, all kinds of low self-esteem, low self-worth and all of that. I mean, I don't have time to get into all that. But, you know, when they're emotionally wounded and they're not whole, then they will fight you and, you know, and make you out to be the enemy. And because they have a poor understanding. Some people fight you because they have a poor understanding. And you just have to let God do that. You have to let God take care of that so that you can go on and connect with what you need. Because listen, there are some people you can't connect to until you disconnect with some. I've also found that to be true in my personal life. There are some people, good godly connections that I could not have made as long as I was still connected to that, which God had already said that season has ended. So, you know, just to try to quickly finish up that thought with Judas. That season had ended. Jesus knew it was going to be that way from the beginning. He wasn't surprised, but he allowed the relationship to run its course. And it finally ran all the way down to the final act of betrayal. And Jesus said, whatever you do, do quickly. Jesus did not run after Peter, after Judas. This brings me to Peter, since I can't get his name out of my mouth. And this is found in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 25. I'm just going to read the verse 15, but in order to appreciate what's happening, I would encourage you to read John 21, 15 through 25. But I'm going to read John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said, then feed my lambs. And so, you know, Jesus goes on this discourse with Peter, right? Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you love me. And then it got to the point to where it grieved Peter. Peter's like, yes, Lord, you know, somebody asks you the same question over and over. And you're like, yeah, I told you yes the first time. But, you know, but it wasn't that Jesus was hard of hearing. It's just that Jesus needed to, there was a transaction that needed to take place in Peter's soul. And Jesus was prodding that. To ensure that that act of betrayal, when you betrayed me three times, remember I said Judas, there was a series of betrayal. So there are relationships that we will have where there will be betrayal. Sometimes I betrayed people, you know, whether it was by omission or commission. It's just humanity. You mess around and tell somebody something and come to find out they didn't want you to tell it, or, you know, just anything can happen. You didn't show up for an event or whatever, you know, whatever. that is up for discussion for many days. But, you know, betrayal looks different for a lot of people. And so, you know, Jesus needed to make sure that this can never happen again. You know, I need you to affirm our relationship. So you see the difference? Jesus had conversation with Peter that he could never have with Judas, because the relationship with Judas had expired. There was nothing beyond that. However, there was a relationship to continue. Jesus and Peter's relationship was till death do us part. And on to glory, of course, we know that. Judas's relationship was until this third act of betrayal. And I think it's third. Don't hold me to it, but I believe it's the third act of betrayal. And then it ended. So there's some people who can betray you. And listen, I'm not saying be okay with betrayal. I'm just pulling out just the scripture context. There are some people who will betray you in relationship, and you can forgive. Y'all can love each other, kiss and hug, go and eat dinner together, walk to the park, watch a movie, whatever. You know, you just kind of kiss and make up, you know, like we were kids, right? We were so innocent and so forgiving. But as we grow older, you know, our emotions mature a little bit. We get a little bit, take things a little bit more personally and all that. There are some relationships that they have the grace. Hear me when I say this. There are some relationships who have the grace for mess ups, multiple mess ups. Peter said, Jesus said, Peter, how many times did we forgive our brother? Seven times? He said, no, 70 times seven. And it's not to say you put a 490 limit of forgiveness. It just means you just do it until it's done. Seven is number of completion. You keep doing it until it's done, until you're free, till they're free, and the relationship has matured past this kind of crazy point. So there are relationships that can handle the crazy stuff. There are people that can handle it strong enough. They're resilient. You know, they're tough. They've overcome. They're mature. They're wise, and they can overcome. And then there are relationships that just don't have that. So wisdom will teach you the difference. There are some people that will be there. Listen, there are people right now in my life who have betrayed me, you know, on many different areas. Some people have really, really betrayed me, and I really considered, you know what, this is over. But the Lord said, no, it's not over. Forgive, release, let go. And I said, yes, Father. Yes, my Father. Why? Because if I, and hear me, because this is for somebody listening to me right now. If I discarded that relationship because of my pain, right? Because your pain is real. I tell my students and I tell those in my group therapy, how you feel is real. Now, what you do with it, that's up for discussion. That's what we need to talk about. But how you feel is real. It's real to you. I may not understand it, but I don't need to understand it, but you know, we need to work through it. So, you know, I was very upset and I was very hurt and I felt very betrayed. However, the Lord said, no, forgive. And he said, I'm going to heal that relationship. And he has. And then the same person turned around and betrayed me again. And I'm like, Jesus. God said, heal, forgive. Do you see what I'm saying? Because there's a grace still on that relationship. So you will know the difference, as opposed to, I'm not putting up with this no more. I'm tired of it. I ain't going to let nobody walk over me. And I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying, before you terminate a relationship, you make certain from God that that relationship is terminationable. And I made that word up. But you make sure that that's over, because you don't want to walk away from it prematurely and God was not finished working in the both of you. There are things that person has for you to get, and there are things that they, vice versa, praise God. So it's just wise to know that you can have close people in your life, whatever that dynamic looks like, And there will be some things. You're going to hurt people. You're going to do things, you know, not, like I said, just by omission, just unconsciously hurt somebody. You didn't even mean to do it. But that relationship, and you say, hey, you know what, friend, pastor, girl, man, woman, whatever, I apologize. I, you know, that was a slip up. I forgot or whatever. Please forgive me. And they're like, oh, you know what, girl, it's all right. Man, bro, it's cool. We're straight. You know, it's going to be, a, yeah, I was kind of feeling some kind of way, but I'm good. You know what I'm saying? That's something you can work with as opposed to something you can't. What you mean you can't so-and-so? So I, you know, this, you keep doing this to me so-and-so. I'm tired of, I'm done. Then, you know, there's no grace there. In some cases, the person may come and say, you know what, I thought about it, and I was just acting out of my emotions. I was, you know, they have a repentant heart. That's the gist of what I want to say, and I'm getting ready to come off the line today. But the gist of what I want to say is you will know the grace, the extent of a grace on relationship if you're dealing with a person with a repentant heart, because we're going to hurt people. We're human, and we're going to make mistakes. It's just going to happen. But if you can own up to yourself and say, hey, you know what, it was me. I did that. David, that's why God loved David so much, because David would say, God, you know what? Yeah, you are just, God. You are right for being mad at me. You are right for taking my son. You are right for allowing this to happen to my family. You are just because I was wrong. Instead of, God, I can't believe you do that. I can't, I didn't serve you. I didn't, you know, none of us have served God uprightly with our whole heart. We're striving, but we have all come short, falling and come short of God's glory. Okay. So I wanted to leave that thought with you today about examining the grace on relationships. There's some relationships that you're going to have, like Jesus had with Judas, where, you know what, you keep doing this. You have no heart of repentance. Your heart is cold. Matter of fact, you never had my best interest at heart from the beginning. It's over. God, you know, you can't even bless folk like that. Just, you know, have a nice life. You know what I'm saying? And then there are relationships like Jesus had with Peter where, yeah, you're going to betray me 3 times. You're going to interrupt me. You're going to act unseemly. I'm going to have to rebuke you, you know, but we're good. I love you. And we're going to get through this. We're going to have some rough times ahead, but we're going to make it through because you have a heart to say, you know what? I was wrong. You have a heart to listen. You have a repentant heart. You want to change. You want to do the right thing. And so I'm going to be patient with you and help you get there. And as I'm patient with you, you help me in the areas that I come short. You teach me patience as I learn patience. Okay. So God bless you as you have listened to this, little abbreviated segment, on grace for relationships. I pray that I said something to, just, you know, sort of impart some wisdom. Maybe you're dealing with some relationship conflict right now and you just kind of didn't know which way to go. God, is this the end or should I hang on? And it's my prayer that throughout the, ministering of this message that the Holy Spirit gave you some insight and just kind of opened up your understanding. Because I pray that those relationships that God ordained for you, that they survive. I pray for lasting relationships, enduring relationships, those good God relationships that God has for you, and the ones that's not good for you. And God is saying the season is the season has come to end it. I pray that God will give you the strength and the willpower, the courage and boldness and the wisdom to cut it, not cut the person. You know, they're human and they have to build a relationship even beyond you, but that it would be a peaceful benediction as much as humanly possible. Amen. Well, God bless you. Until next time, grace and peace.